Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 53 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition, I'm Keneally Roberts.
And I'm Daria Denisenko.
It's really hard to make an estimate because we don't really know what we're going to find.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet will temporarily close part of U.S. 60 East in Rowan County next week.
State officials are advising Kentuckians on what to do if they've received the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine.
Kentucky has ranked high in 2020 for the development and building of new land projects.
Lexington leaders are one step closer to approving a citywide ban on conversion therapy.
The Kentucky State Police have a new commissioner.
In sports, Moorhead State Volleyball competes in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 10% chance of showers tonight with a low around 39. We'll have an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet will temporarily close part of U.S. 60 East in Rowan County for drainage repairs next week. U.S. 60, just west of Kentucky's 799 Big Perry Road, will close to excavate the highway and replace a large culvert underneath. The work is part of a $2.2 million Federal Highway Safety Improvement Program project along 7 miles of U.S. 60 from Bramblewood Lane to the Carter County line. KCT District 9 spokesman Alan Blair says crews will work to reopen the road as quickly as possible, but U.S. 60 could remain closed for up to 5 days.
It's really hard to make an estimate because we don't really know what we're going to find until we start digging into the roadway. And part of the time, it takes some time in this case, is just the amount of excavation and having to put that back. But hopefully, within a few days, they'll be able to reopen it.
Blair says all through traffic and commercial trucks should detour using I-64 between Moorhead and Olive Hill. Local motorists should seek alternate routes such as I-64, Open Fork, and Christie Creek.
The Kentucky Office of Unemployment Insurance System has shut down last Thursday and came back online Tuesday to assist Kentuckians who need to reset their PIN number. A call center is currently available for PIN resets. A valid email is required for the new registration process. Frances Balding has received 5 unemployment letters and 2 checks in the mail. She tells Wave 3 News she may have been a victim of fraud.
Well, on the check, it has Frances F. Balding. My middle initial is M.
Individuals who need to reset their PIN number should call 502-564-2900. The call center is open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
With federal health officials pausing the administration of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine, Kentucky officials are advising residents what they should do if they've either received or are scheduled to receive the single-shot vaccine. Kentucky is heeding CDC and FDA advice and halting use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine while additional safety checks are performed. Officials report 6 cases of a rare but severe form of blood clotting potentially linked to the vaccine. Individuals who have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine who experience a severe headache, abdominal pain, leg pain, or shortness of breath within 3 weeks of vaccination should contact their healthcare provider. As for those who have signed up to receive a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, Governor Andy Beshear urges patience.
Your appointments, if they are more than 4 or 5 days out, keep them for the moment. We will see. We should have more information tomorrow once they meet. If it's today or tomorrow, probably the next day, it's not going to happen. J&J can't be administered during that time. You should contact that provider, though, and see if they have an alternative.
The pause will have the biggest impact on independent pharmacies, vaccinations in the correction system, and efforts to vaccinate populations experiencing homelessness.
Kentucky ranked high in 2020 for the development and building of new land projects. WMKY's Rachel Turner has the story.
Site Selection Magazine's annual Governor's Cup rankings for 2020 place Kentucky atop the South Central region and third nationally for qualifying projects per capita. Kentucky has opened several projects, which have been beneficial financially to the state's economy and natural resources. The Commonwealth also placed 7th overall in total projects. the highest of any state with a population under 5 million. Last year, Kentucky announced 233 new location and expansion projects. The projects are expected to create nearly 8,000 jobs with the highest average hourly wages in years. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
Lexington leaders are one step closer to approving a citywide ban on conversion therapy for LGBTQ youth. The LGBTQ Youth Mental Health Protection Ordinance would prohibit state-licensed therapists from engaging in any practice meant to change a minor's sexual orientation or gender identity. A discussion during Tuesday's Urban County Council work session between council members Fred Brown and Liz Sheehan centered on whether a city ordinance is the appropriate way to address the issue.
I would think we would have things in place that would prevent any abuse of the children, no matter what their sexual orientation is.
There might be a board that they would go to, but there isn't state legislation that prohibits this. So I do believe that we need something at the local level to stand firm on the practice.
Despite some concerns about whether the city is overstepping its bounds, the ordinance passed its first council vote with unanimous support. If approved, Lexington would be the third Kentucky city to ban conversion therapy, with Covington and Louisville having approved bans in 2020.
The Kentucky State Police have a new commissioner. Governor Andy Beshear announced last week that he had appointed Philip Burnett Jr. to the post. Burnett is a 25-year veteran of the KSP and a native of Bell County. He had been serving as an interim commissioner since November, when the previous commissioner, Rodney Brewer, resigned in the wake of the Warrior Mindset training presentation scandal in which Adolf Hitler was quoted. At his appointment ceremony at the Capitol, Burnett pledged to continue working with communities across the Commonwealth to protect and serve Kentuckians with honor and dignity. He said he also plans to continue working to diversify the state police agency by collaborating with the University of Kentucky Department of Education and the Kentucky Personnel Cabinet on recruitment efforts. The General Assembly recently allocated $500,000 for recruitment efforts, along with $5.1 million to address retention and KSP personnel needs. Kentucky State Police Troopers are based at 16 regional posts across the Commonwealth.
An official report from the Kentucky Inspector General found that a controversial training video did not intentionally include a white supremacist symbol. The report states a law enforcement and emergency worker training video with a black sun symbol appropriated by Nazis was lifted from YouTube, according to the Lexington Herald Leader. Rabbi Shlomo Litvin of Chabad of the Bluegrass tells WKYT it's worrisome how the offensive symbol fell through the cracks.
When all these forces are surrounding, for the police department to say that something slipped through the cracks, we didn't recognize anti-Semitism when we saw it, is in no way reassuring to the Jewish community, who, like every other community, especially minority communities, relies on the police to be that arbitrator of what is fair and just.
Kentucky State Police training materials previously surfaced showing quotes from Adolf Hitler, Confederate General Robert E. Lee, and urging troopers to be, quote, ruthless killers.
Morehead State community is mourning the loss of police detective Michael Martin. WMKY's Rachel Turner has more.
Martin died Thursday, April 8th, at his home at the age of 58. At 16 years old, Martin began volunteering with his father at the Montgomery County Fire and EMT. He began at the Mount Sterling Police Department in 1985. After 6 years, he entered the Kentucky State Police Academy in Frankfort and served as a detective. After retirement from KSP, he served with the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department as a school resource officer and detective, and later as chief of police for the city of Owingsville, and as director of the Montgomery County School District Law Enforcement Police Department. He served as a detective for the MSUPD for approximately 8 years. More information about visitation and celebration of life can be found on northcuttandsons.com. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. On Thursday, it's mostly sunny with a high near 57. On Thursday night, it's mostly clear with a low around 37. On Friday, areas of frost before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 61. On Friday night, it's partly cloudy with a low around 41. On Saturday, it's mostly cloudy with a high near 59. And on Saturday night, it's partly cloudy with a low around 42.
On our feature segment today, spring has arrived in the region, bringing blooming flowers and buzzing bees. In recent years, the number of area residents beekeeping has been growing. WMKY's Carrie Stambo has more.
Beekeeping, or apiculture, is the maintenance of bee colonies, usually in man-made hives, by humans for the purpose of collecting their honey and other bee-produced products. The location where bees are kept is called an apiary. Lori Bowling is a beekeeper and the horticulture agent at the University of Kentucky's Extension Service office in Boyd County. She says in recent years, the hobby has really created a buzz in the region.
I think what really spurred the beekeeping was the downturn in the honeybee population and the risk of honeybees, you know, becoming endangered. So I think a lot of people really became proactive, especially a lot of gardeners became proactive. And I think that was what spurred a lot of people to get into it.
Beekeeping can be done almost anywhere, from urban rooftops to large rural farms.
It is really a good investment because, you know, once you invest in even just two hives, the return of the honey that you can get and sell. And honey, you know, is a very a good selling product. And it's not, I won't say cheap, you know, especially to get local honey. And that is, you know, a big thing. A lot of people want local honey.
Bowling is a member of the Northeast Kentucky Beekeepers Association. She explains the group noticed the increased interest in recent years and responded by expanding their footprint.
They wanted to start doing a lot of educational programs, and they decided and they approached our district board about putting in an apiary out at our education center. So they have got five hives out there. They have an outside pavilion with a cover over it to do outdoor classroom type activities.
The apiary is located at the Extension Services Boyd County Fairgrounds. The club is open to anyone interested in beekeeping, and having hives is not a prerequisite to joining. While there are members with many hives, others have none. Bowling says the club is a great way to familiarize oneself with beekeeping.
They have done several programs in the apiary, just going out and showing people how to inspect hives, what to look for, and, you know, how do you find the queen? What does she look like? Looking at brood, which are your eggs or your upcoming, you know, bees to hatch.
While COVID has affected their usual calendar of activities, Bowling says the club has plans to resume educational events again very soon.
Normally, they do an annual beekeeping school in January, and we had to cancel that. But they're looking maybe to do one this fall.
The Northeast Kentucky Beekeepers Association meets the second Monday of each month and can be found on Facebook. Bowling encourages individuals in other areas to check with their county extension office to find a local beekeeping group. For WMKY News, I'm Carrie Stambo reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
It's 53 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mounted Edition host, Keneally Roberts, here with Daria Denisenko and Sarah Mead, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Leanne Akers has a look at sports coming up, but first, I just want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us on this misty Wednesday afternoon.
The Eagles are flying high in Omaha this afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Leanne Akers. The Morehead State volleyball team is battling it out in the first round of the NCAA championship against Creighton this afternoon. The Eagles are up 2-1 going into the fourth matchup. This was the third NCAA tournament appearance for the Eagles, and the meeting marked the first between the Eagles and the Blue Jays in both programs' histories. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker says Creighton has a very talented team.
They have two strong outsides that they play six rotations, so they never come out of the match, and they're a great blocking team. They're getting about 2.3 blocks per set, so we know we're going to have a big block, but we also have a very physical team.
You can watch the final matches live on ESPN3. The winner of today's matches will face number 8 Florida tomorrow at 3:30 for the second round of the NCAA championship tournament. Morehead State's Riley Preece's offensive output at Austin Peay has earned him the latest Ohio Valley Conference Baseball Player of the Week honor. A native of Paintsville and a Johnson Central High School alum, Preece helped Morehead State win a series at Austin Peay for the first time since 2015 and move into first place early here in the OVC race. Head coach Mick Aoki says Preece is a very athletic addition to the team.
He's been a good player for us ever since he got inserted into the lineup at some point, maybe in week 2 or 3 or something like that. And I've stayed there and done a good job. He's played really well in center field. He brings a little speed to our lineup, which is something that we don't have an abundance of. And so he's been really good for us. He's done a good job.
Preece and the rest of the Eagles will welcome Eastern Illinois this weekend for a 4-game series. Friday's doubleheader is set to start at noon. The Morehead State University football team is continuing to prepare for their second matchup of the season with Butler this weekend. The Eagles won their first contest against the Bulldogs 35-14 back on April 3rd. Now, as they get ready to face them again, head coach Rob Tenier says there's actually a lot at stake with multiple PFL contests this week.
If Valparaiso beats San Diego and Stetson beats Davidson and we win, there's a 4-way tie for a championship, so there's still a chance for us to win a championship, and we're pretty excited about that.
Kickoff in Morehead on Saturday is slated for 4 p.m. Limited seating is still available, and tickets can be found online at msueagles.com. It's game day once again for the Round County Senior High School baseball team. The Vikings are coming off a win over Fairview Monday and are set to face Russell at home tonight. Head coach Scott Collins says the games his guys play this week will serve as good gauge for his team at this point in the season.
They're always athletic, well-coached. They'll come prepared to play. And then don't have a whole lot of information on Breathitt County at this time, but Lewis, you know, well-coached again. You know, Sammy does a great job over there. So, big week for us, kind of see where we are.
First pitch in Morehead tonight is set for 6 p.m. The Round County Senior High School softball team isn't getting any downtime before their next matchup this evening. The Vikings are coming off a loss to Fleming County at home last night, 7-2. Now they are set to face off with East Carter for the second home game of the week. Head coach Larry Sloan says missing a year due to the pandemic has left him with only one game-ready pitcher on the team. Working to get more support in that area, Sloan said he's had to do some experimenting with his bench.
Hopefully we'll get a little bit of help. I took a middle school seventh grader up there, and she pitched the last part of the Lawrence County game and did well. She didn't have any walks and threw strikes. We just didn't catch it.
First pitch against East Carter this evening is set for 6 p.m. Taking a look at other high school softball action tonight, Boyd County is set to host Wayne, West Virginia. And in regional baseball action, East Carter hosts Raceland and Morgan County hosts Perry County Central. All those games are also set to begin at 6 p.m. And finally in sports this afternoon, Kentucky Sports Radio founder Matt Jones and Ohio Valley Wrestling plan to jump in the ring with WKYT. Beginning in May, the television station and its second channel, the CW Lexington, will start airing OVW matches, giving the league exposure throughout central and eastern Kentucky. Jones purchased a majority stake in the Louisville-based Independent Wrestling League earlier this year and says finding a Lexington TV partner was a perfect fit. Matches will begin airing on May the 6th. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Damon M. Ballinger, CAI, a certified auctioneer and realtor with more than 20 years of experience in auctions and real estate. Starting a business, selling your home, looking for a place to live, needing to expand or downsize, Damon Ballinger can help with your realty and auction needs. Damon M. Ballinger can be reached at the C. Roger Lewis Agency, 129 East Main Street in Moorhead, or by calling 606-776-1513. That's 776-1513.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 slipped from record levels in volatile trading amid a sell-off in technology shares, while investors digested the first batch of corporate earnings that largely exceeded expectations. And at the close of the Dow, industrials did manage a small gain of 53.62. At 33,730.89, the broader market was weaker, with the S&P 500 down 16.93 at 4,124.66, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 138.26 at 13,857.84. Coinbase's widely watched direct listing opened at $381 today and shot up as high as $429, but soon dipped below the debut price. As Coinbase shares traded off their highs, the price of Bitcoin also fell from a record high of $63,800 hit earlier today. Crypto investors were hailing the company's stock market debut as a major milestone for the industry after years of skepticism from Wall Street and regulators. And Tesla, which is a holder of Bitcoin and a speculative tech play in its own right, fell more than 3%. And big tech stocks, including Amazon, Facebook, Netflix, and Apple, all traded at least 1% lower. Strong bank earnings helped support sentiment today, with shares of Goldman Sachs climbing more than 3% after the bank blew past analyst expectations, with record first-quarter net profits and revenues on strong performance from the firm's equities trading and investment banking units. J.P. Morgan also beat analyst estimates on the top and bottom lines, helped by a $5.2 billion benefit from releasing money it had previously set aside for loan losses that did not develop. Shares of J.P. Morgan did dip about 1%. Wells Fargo also reported earnings and revenue that exceeded expectations for its first quarter, and the stock gained 5%. In other news, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said the central bank will reduce its bond purchases, likely well before it hikes interest rates. In the commodities markets, oil was up 4.5%, finishing at $62.91 a barrel. Gold was down 0.625% at $1,736.90 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest up $1.15 at $17.57. Marathon Petroleum up $1.30 at $53.87. CSX up 56 cents at $98.36. U.S. Bancorp up 95 cents at $57.58. Kroger down 34 cents at $37.24. And Humana was up $5.64, finishing at $422.75. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. On Thursday, it's mostly sunny with a high near 57. On Thursday night, it's mostly clear with a low around 37. On Friday, areas of frost before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 61.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Leanne Akers, Carla Haight, Megan Jones, Jonathan Burton, Sarah Mead, Rachel Turner, Benjamin Hall, WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Carrie Stambo. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Daria Denisenko and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Keneally Roberts for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.